glad to be here today, and I'm so thankful that you have taken time out of your busy schedule in this beautiful place to come and worship here at the Crossroads Service. And for those of you that are tuning in online, we appreciate that. We hope that as you are listening in and watching, that something that is said and the experience here will be a blessing to you wherever you're watching, because we know that God is here to speak to us through all that we're experiencing in this place right now. So thank you for coming out. And I appreciate y'all allowing me to come speak to you. I know normally you have this awesome preacher, Vern Collins, speak every Sunday to you, and I know he does an outstanding job. This service has been such a blessing to so many people and has grown so much because of what God has done in and through him. So I had to wrestle Vern for 3 weeks. That was a tough fight, but I whipped him for a little bit. But he's allowed me to come and speak here, and I hope to make this a regular part of our preaching routine, because one thing I want us to realize is that we're all in this together. There's no early service and traditional service and a Crossroads service. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ at Boone United Methodist Church. And I hope that whatever pastor is here speaking to you, that you are hearing the word of the Lord for you this day. That's our prayer. Each and every one of us, when we come and present the message, that this is God's word for you for this day. So grateful that I'm able to do this. You'll get Vern next week, so hold on to your hat. You know, get ready for the snakes. That's what they learn in the mountains, right? There's a box that they brought with them. No. And glad you all made it back safely. Before I read the scripture, let me ask a question or make a statement. You know, many people in life are spending the entirety of their lives overcoming what they were told that they were or would become. They spend the entirety of their lives overcoming what they were told about themselves when they were young. Others, as they grow up in life and experience life, they are told that they're inadequate, they don't measure up, they're not worthy, that as they grow older, that life has passed them by. Or some are saying that we're too old amount to anything anymore. Well, the text for this morning, I hope if you are one of those persons I talked about, and in some ways we are all that way, will speak to you how valuable and wonderful you are in the sight of God, in the sight of his Son Jesus. Hear now the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as spoken the good news according to Matthew, the 5th chapter, starting with verse 14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but puts it on a lampstand and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. I'm speaking, I think Vern is speaking for the next few weeks, on some of our favorite passages. And for some odd reason, this passage is probably my favorite in all the Bible. Maybe for some of the reasons I mentioned as I started out. But this passage speaks to me and it speaks to us. For you see, these words are Jesus' words to you. You got to understand, Jesus got his disciples, and they went up to a mountaintop. And in that day and time, when a rabbi or a teacher was going to speak wisdom, he sat down. So if I was teaching in the manner that they taught him back then, I'd pull me up a chair and sit down. Now, that might put you to sleep. It might make me more comfortable, and I might get a little tired, but that's the way they did it back then. And so Jesus gathered his disciples there on the mountain. He sat down. He instructed those 12, but we also read that there's a multitude that gathered around him. They were overhearing what Jesus was saying, because the words that he was saying was not only for those 12, but those who would overhear, and for us too. Any of y'all familiar with TED Talks? Any TED Talks people out there? We got a couple. Yeah, a few. All right, a lot more hands going up there. You can learn a lot of good things on TED Talks. And a TED Talk is a person speaking usually to an audience in an auditorium or at a college, and that's the audience he's speaking to. But we know that many of us, either on a podcast or watching on YouTube, are overhearing the message, those words. And those of us that are overhearing that TED Talk, that message is for us just as it is for those people that are sitting there in the audience. And so these words of Jesus are not just for those people sitting in that audience. They are for all who would overhear it and for all who would claim it. For you see, this most famous sermon in all of history, this Sermon on the Mount, the church has said, is not just for those first 12 disciples or those first hearers. That message is for all who would claim to be followers of Jesus, all who would hear the words. It is for us, church, in this day and time. So that means when Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," that's speaking to you and to me this day. Now, I know some of you all who are semi-biblically literate are thinking this, that, hey, wait a minute, this preacher's crazy. Didn't Jesus say that he is the light of the world? And I would say, yes, I am crazy. And yes, you are absolutely right. Jesus did say he is the light of the world. In the early part of John's gospel, the beautiful prologue, it says there, "And the light came into the world, but the darkness did not overcome it. The light came to his people, and his people did not recognize it." And then later on in John, in chapter 9, Jesus says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So, yes, Jesus does make that claim for himself. But here's what he also says in what we read today. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now, many of us have a problem with that because we think we're too small. We're too insignificant. We're just too ordinary. But folks, I'm here to tell you, those words, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, are your words. We who are followers of Jesus, we are reflective of that light that came into the world in Jesus, and we're to shine it all over the world. It's kind of like seeing the moon out at night. You know, we say, oh, look at the moon shining at night, and there's a beautiful full moon over the mountains right now. Is that the moon actually shining? No. It's the moon reflecting the light of the sun down upon the earth at night. And that's what we are. We reflect the light of Christ's glory into the world so that all the world may know and have light brought into their dark places. But I know many of us think we're too small, we're too insignificant. Let me just say this. If you don't think a small thing can be noticed or is insignificant, those of you all that camping trip this week, if you had a mosquito in that tent at night, one mosquito all over the place, you noticed that mosquito, didn't you? You know that thing is there buzzing around, bothering you in your ear, right? Anyone that's been out at night and been in a tent and seen that, felt that mosquito, well, you noticed it. Even more significantly, in the darkness, even the smallest light dispels the dark that is around it. A match, a pen light, a small little candle. Wherever that light is, it cannot be dark, no matter how small the light is shining. Small things truly matter. Small acts of kindness done in love can dispel the darkness in someone else's life. We went through, and still are in some ways, going through an unbelievably dark time in our lives after an incredible tragedy. And we were surrounded by darkness, and I almost succumbed to the darkness. But people in small ways poured light into us to help us see our way out of that dark tragedy. And people still are. And I could go on and on and on and talk about all these things, but just let me share one small thing that someone did for us and how it made a difference to us. In college, I took a lot of math classes, and it seemed that Sharon Shepherd was in every one of these classes. And of course, we'd write jokes about the professor and do all sorts of things. You know, what else are you going to do in Cal, too? I mean, oh, talk about boring. Okay, so we were there and joking around with each other. But after we both graduated, she went her way, I went my way. She got married to Dan Hudson, and I got married and went off to California in the Air Force and did all sorts of things. I hadn't seen Sharon in a long time. Hadn't heard hide nor hair of her. Oh, we're Facebook friends, but you know, we really hadn't connected. But after the deep tragedy in our life, and our son had that accident, Sharon wrote us a note every Monday for a year. And it seemed those notes would come in the mail just at the right time when we needed words that brought forth light into our darkness. One of the most memorable notes she sent to me, she said, you know, I remember when I was giving birth to the baby, and there was my husband, Dan, there standing there beside me, holding my hand. Now, Dan couldn't give birth to that baby, and men said amen to that. Notice how the ladies laughed, you know. Yeah, but Dan was there beside me, holding my hand. She said, I can't go through the grief that you're going through, but I can hold your hand and shine light in your dark space. Something as small as taking a piece of paper and getting out a pen and writing a note to someone who's dealing with the darkness of grief. That's all it was. A small thing. In some people's minds, an insignificant thing, but it casts light in the darkness of my life. You know, you might think you're just an ordinary person, someone insignificant, not famous, but you can cast light. Marianne Williamson, in her book, Return to Love, this quote has been borrowed by all sorts of people and claimed by all sorts of people, but Marianne Williamson is the first to pen this. She says this, our greatest fear is that we're not inadequate. Our greatest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness, that makes us fear most. We ask ourselves, how can I be brilliant? How can I be gorgeous and talented? How can I be fabulous? How can you not be? You're a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. You are meant to shine as all children are. You are meant to reflect the glory of God that is within you and indeed within all of us. And as we let our light shine, we free people to let their light shine as well. As we are liberated from our fear, we liberate others from theirs. You are the light of the world, you see. Jesus himself says that. Now, it may be hard for you to claim, and you may maybe not as energetic as you might want to be right now. So I'm going to ask you to say this with me. Say this, I am the light of the world. Can you say that? I am the light of the world. Wow. But I don't know if you really get that or not. So I want you to say your name is the light of the world. Now, I'm going to say Ed Glaze is the light of the world. But you all not any other Ed Glazes out there? Don't put that name in there. Say your name is the light of the world. Ed Glaze is the light of the world. You ought to repeat it. You say your name. The light of the world. Wow. You are. You're the light of the world. And as Jesus said, light is not meant to be put under a basket. Here's how he put it. He said, y'all. Now, he's talking to a bunch of Southerners, okay? He said, y'all. You don't go buy a lamp and plug it in and don't put a light bulb in it, do you? No. You don't do that. And then he said, you don't buy yourself a flashlight and then take it home and don't put any batteries in it, do you? No. What is a lamp without a light bulb? A dust collector. What is a flashlight without batteries? It is a paperweight. That's not what they're meant for. A lamp is meant to have that light bulb in it plugged in to shine to light up that house. That flashlight is meant to have batteries in it, and you turn it on, and when you stumble around at night or when the power goes out, you won't trip on something. Lights are meant to shine. You are meant to shine out into the world to help others experience light. We're not to hide our lights, you see. We are meant to go out and shine on others so that others will experience blessings and we'll experience those blessings ourselves. It's amazing what happens, isn't it, when we do such things? It's amazing that as we see how we have made a difference in the lives of other people, we get blessed. When I served in a small town in rural South Alabama for a good long time. In fact, if you get a call from Bruton, Alabama, more than likely it's from me. It's not a hay salesman. It's going to be me. More than likely. And anyways, in that community, we started a organization called Communities of Transformation. It was a group. I think there's something similar in North Carolina, where you get people who want to encourage folks to reach a goal or to better themselves. And so we established this community of transformation, and we had people who wanted to overcome drug addiction, or they wanted to get their diploma, or try to find a better job. And we would gather around those persons and support them, encourage them, and tell them, yeah, you can do this. And the night of the graduation of the first class, I remember this woman named Marcia. She came up to me afterwards, because she had been battling drug addiction. She had been a medical professional. She lost her job. She lost her family. She lost everything. And here's Communities of Transformation trying to build her back up. And after the graduation, with tears in her eyes, and after she talked to me, there were tears in mine too, she said, thank you. Thank you, Ed. Every time you saw me, you encouraged me. And I'm here today because of you. Wow, that blessed my life. I hope and pray that you will shine your light in the lives of other people so that you will receive such a blessing. That as you look back on your life, that you'll see points of light where you have blessed the lives of other people. Before electricity came along in big cities, they would have men called lamplighters. Y'all have probably heard of them. And they would go and to poles, and they would light a candle, or later on they would ignite a gas unit there to let light flow out into the darkness of that city. And the cool thing was, if you stood back, you could see the path where the light lamplighter had been. You could see where he had brought light into that darkened city, and you could follow the pathway of his progress throughout that darkened town. I hope and pray that as you journey through life, you can look back on your life and you can see in dark places where you have been lighting the lives of other people with love and encouragement and support. You have helped people who have been in dark places, writing notes, taking visits, maybe giving rides to folks that needed to come to worship, going on mission trips. I hope and pray that you can experience that blessing, because here's what Scripture says to us. And as Isaiah 58:10, it says, if you give of yourselves for the needs of the hungry and surrender yourself for the oppressed, then your light will shine in the darkness and your night will be as noonday. And hear this, the Lord himself will protect you and he will bless you and provide your every need. Jesus put it this way later on in the sermon that we're quoting today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be provided. The blessings will come to you. And is it any wonder, those of you that have been on a mission trip, any of you that have taken part in some of the ministries of this congregation, which I will highlight here in just a second, that are going out and doing things, you feel good about it? Why do you think that is? Because that's what you're made for. You're meant, as a follower of Jesus Christ, to shine light into the dark places so that people can experience the light of Jesus' love. That's what you're made for. So do not let anyone tell you that your light is insignificant. You're to shine it out into the world. And then did you see what Jesus said? He said there's a city that sits on a hill. Now, back in those days and time, you know, there was darkness all around, but wherever there was a town or a village, there were lots of lamps that were lit by the villagers. And what did that do for people that were wandering in the wilderness out on a dark road somewhere? There was that light shining there from all those people who had gathered there together. What do you think he's referring to? He's referring to us believers gathering together as a like a city set on a hill, a church that has come together filled with the lights of people like you and like me. And that helps people see God and have a direction on where they are to go. For church, that's what we're made for. To blaze so that people can come to God, be directed to this one who has made us. And lots of ways this congregation's doing that. I'm so happy to see the many things that this church is doing to shine light into the dark places in this world. This past week, 32 students came here to get assistance in reading. And there were volunteers from this congregation that came and read to the students. They mentored the students. They taught yoga to the students. And this church provided a place where kids who are having trouble reading, who've been told that they're not going to go anywhere because they can't read that well, were brought to this place to help encourage them and let them become better readers. That's casting light, church. I hear tell it gets cold here in the winter. Is that true? Yeah. Seems great to me right now, but I hear it gets cold in the winter. And there's a big wood pile out back. Now, those of us that are old enough know about wood piles where our dads would take us behind there and maybe sometimes lay a piece of that wood on the backside, right? Yeah, but this wood pile, you all take, and there's groups of you that do that, that take that wood and split it up, and there's 80 families that y'all took wood to heat their homes. And then there are these ladies in this church that know how to sew. And they made quilts and took blankets to all these folks so that they could be kept warm and dry in the winter. That's casting light, church. That's casting light. And I hear that Methodists like to eat around here. You know that, you know? In Alabama, we don't like to eat. We never did that. Yeah, right. The gospel bird is fried chicken, amen? Yeah. Yeah, we like to gather and eat. And you all have a group of folks that come and cook, and they'll get vegetables and peel them and meat and fry it up and do all sorts of things. And you fix dinner not just for church folks, but there are people from the community that may have not had a meal that night, but you provided the light of love through food to these people that might have been hungry. And not only that, if some folks can't get here, you all go out and take the food to them. Taking the light of Christ in a practical way called a plate of fried chicken. Amen. And you also go to Guatemala, a place where we have people leaving because the conditions are so bad there. But you're going there to help people feel at home in their home, helping them have a light cast into their lives as you're mentoring and tutoring children, providing scholarships for them to go to school, building a church, partnering up with a good Methodist down there. That's casting light, y'all. That's casting light. And it is my hope and prayer that as we work together as a church, we're going to find more ways to cast light out into the world. Because as we talked about last week, we're about making disciples. And one of the things that disciples do is they carry the light of Christ's love out into broken and hurting places in this world. If we're not doing that, then we're not disciples of Jesus Christ. We have got to go and make a difference in this world. As the great mission statement of the United Methodist Church says, we make disciples of Jesus Christ to transform this world. That means we go out and take the light of love into the world. That's what we're going to be about, church. And I know you in many ways you already are, and we're going to continue to do that and find every way that every one of us can find ways to be the light of Christ to someone who's broken and hurting, who's enduring some sort of darkness. That's what we're about. And we're going to work together to make that happen. At the end of the Civil War, as my Confederate ancestors would have called it, the war between the states, after the victorious Union armies had gathered together there in Washington, D.C., and had a huge parade for all the governing officials and for the president, the Union armies went back to their encampments outside of Washington in the countryside. And they were so moved by all that happened, and they felt such a camaraderie and felt so good that this terrible nightmare of the Civil War was over. You know, that's the war where more people, more Americans died than all of the wars combined. They said, we want to make this last. So as night fell, the soldiers began to take candles and put them in the end of their rifles. And they lit those candles and they began to march all over the countryside, still celebrating the victory, still celebrating that there was peace, still celebrating the camaraderie that helped them win the victory. Back in the city, in the days before electric lights, someone noticed this big glow over there on the hillside, far outside of town, and they said this: it's as if the sun has risen again. My friends, the sun did rise again, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he has poured his light and love into all who would claim that resurrection faith for themselves. He says to us, you then, because you claim me as your Savior, you are the light of the world. Go out and shine. Reminds me of a song that you probably learned if you're old enough in Bible school or in kindergarten. And I'm going to start leading it, but please quickly take over, because you can see why I'm not in the praise band and the choir. It's called This Little Light of Mine. You all know that? All right, let's go. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You are the light of the world. Take that little light that is of you and blaze all over the world, and people will come to know Jesus because of you. Amen, amen, and amen.